I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/Inner Academy.
And welcome to the Shakti Hour, a podcast on the Be Here Now Network, where I speak with women about their personal experience on the spiritual path. My name is Melanie, and today I'm sharing a conversation with Jacqueline Hodes, creator of A Wave Awake, naturally dyed, earth-conscious, sustainable fashion. Jacqueline and I caught up with each other this summer in California, and we had a great talk about intuition, creative practice, spiritual evolution, divine timing, the feminine, right effort, and being grounded in the body. I hope you enjoy our talk. Please go to the Shakti Hour page at BeHereNowNetwork.com, where you'll find links to the A Wave Awake site. You can also subscribe to the Shakti Hour on iTunes, and if you're enjoying listening, please do leave us a good review. Thanks so much for listening, and now please enjoy the Shakti Hour. I'm here today with Jacqueline Hodes of A Wave Awake, a friend of mine who I recently reconnected with this summer in California. And I'm super stoked to be here with her over the internet. I don't know, just the California vibes had me say stoked for some reason, which is not something I normally say. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourself here at the beginning, a little bit about your spiritual path. I know that, in your bio for your clothing line, there's mention of your study of Kundalini yoga and how that helped take you on that journey. But maybe you can share a little bit about that, or how you got to that, or how spirit has moved into your life.
Absolutely. I was just thinking about this the other day. It came up. So actually, we spoke about Paris. I know you're living in Paris now. And it was really in Paris that I was about to say like a reverse awakening, but I got to the point of feeling stuck in my young adult life. I was 22 and I could feel this tension rising in the city. And it was just that my senses were all kind of more and more activated out as an adult in the world. And my dad saw a psychic who very randomly, and he's since gotten involved in this, like in an interesting way, and has written a book about metaphysics from physician to metaphysician. That's a whole other story. But he saw this psychic who had all these messages for me. And I was very stuck in Paris. And so when I got back to New York, I almost stayed there and went to design school. And I got pulled back because I felt this irrational desire that New York was, everything was about to change. And it did. And a close friend of mine who was a big inspiration passed away exactly a month before September 11th. So I got back to New York, all of that happened, all of that kind of trauma, terror that I was feeling in Paris because that was happening in its own way in Paris, even though there were no towers falling, etc., that there was that palpable shift energy. And I got back to New York and I started seeing a healer who took me on journeys. And so I refound, I think, what is the essence that we all have, sort of our innate ability to travel astrally and connect to guides and all of that. And at the same time, I would go there and I would, you know, be in New York City and I would be partying or try to party or do whatever, assisting stylists and just still doing things that felt to me to have layers of the past or old ways of doing things. Just, but then the light was still emerging through all that darkness, and that was a very chaotic time. And I, you know, was moving through it. And I first, a few years after, actually ended up coming to LA for the first time and just seeing other possibilities of living. And the awakening was actually like funny. It was slow that way. But I started doing yoga around that time. But it wasn't until I stepped into a Kundalini yoga class and I heard Sat Nam, and that to me was like the further cellular awakening, that anything that was dormant really came alive. And through that, I think my path opened up even further and got clearer, because I think, you know, the messages have been there all along, and it was a matter of, you know, listening to them, clearing out the fuzz in my ears so that I could hear it.
Yeah. It's so fascinating to me about how this, like, leaning into the intuition kind of unfolds in this way where you get a real strong lean and you act on it, but then there can be this whole kind of unraveling of that thing. And I'm wondering if you felt like if that actually then led you into your craft, or if it still is unraveling, or if it, you know, was it internal to external or external to, in, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of like waves, really, but it would come and go. But I think I always wanted to be a designer. And then I actually complicated myself by getting more interested in academic, intellectual pursuits. So I kind of filled my mind and kind of that was in a way a cloud, even though that was all coming from, you know, the old school enlightenment, everything that I, you know, my education. And then, but I always, when I was like a little girl, played like a designer. Hmm. Like I had a dress up, I had a designer. So something that was always something I knew from a past life. And then after college, after Sarah Lawrence, I studied lots of great things, and I think they're all part of what I'm doing now too. But I maybe would have gone to design school, and I almost did in Paris, but I was styling. And actually it was interesting because it was almost horrifying to me. Like I was attracted to it, but all my illusions came crashing down when I was on set in Paris for the first time, and like creating images for a magazine that was like so important to me, like as a young teenager. Like it was the epitome of cool. It was Dazed and Confused, I think, and it was a shoot for that. And I was like, oh yeah, here I really am. Like this is happening. And in the same breath, it was like sort of existential dread. And instead of, I don't know, it's all the Scorpio in me, but instead of being completely like run the other way, I was intrigued. I think I'm like still kind of like intrigued, because I think maybe when there's the wound and we still have work to do, like it still needs, we don't really know how to heal it or what to put on it to mend it or close it. It's like some of us at least go into it. There was a fascination there, even though it was like a mix of like excitement and also like horror, because I was like, hey, this is it. Like I really consume these images and love this beauty, and yet like this is some of the ugliness that's also present behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's a real Kali kind of moment of the whole thing. Like it feels like the whole thing is getting consumed, and that really is the creative process. You know, it's destructive and creative, and that like that part of the, you know, I feel like it sometimes gets washed over in pure spirituality conversations, that like when you're trying to just look at your whole being and your whole ego self, But if you get rid of that and you just go into the work or whatever you're doing and go into it that fully, you still have that destruction, creation, whole experience. And that can be just as frightening as sitting on a animal skin in a cave somewhere and entering the void, because everything is becoming one, the self is being taken.
Yeah, really seeing kind of the darkness and the light at once and having to not throw out the darkness too soon. So I was really in that realm for a while, trying to find my place, but ultimately, like, it wasn't in a true alignment to continue as I was. And in alignment with that, my career wasn't really advancing, and it wasn't really on it. And I did teacher's training, completely yoga teacher's training in New York, but with teachers from LA as well. And one of the things that the teacher Gurmukh said was that she just really said it, and it definitely penetrated. She said, if what you're doing isn't in alignment with your ethics and where we're going here, like in this course, in this teaching, it's not going to work. It will fall away. There is nothing that you can do. So it was almost like permission, like let go. And I heard that, and I just wasn't sure yet what that would look like, because it's like, even though at that point I was still so young, right? It's like now here I am almost like, 10 years later or more, 12 years later. I think 10, something like that. Let's just say 10 years later, and you're like, oh my God, I can't. I've invested all this time into doing this thing, like, And I obviously didn't just throw it all out. I set to try to alchemize what I was doing. But it was really going deeper into Kundalini Yoga and Santa Fe and thinking I could move and open up this store online and create things. And now I finally had the confidence and the permission to create something, to really have something come from me and birth these. And it was sort of how I was dressing, and it was inspired my own take on Kundalini Yoga. Like, you know, you wear kurtas and headdresses, and it was all about, and that was the Indian way of dressing. And I thought that was so beautiful. And I still thought that's not authentic to me. And yet for people who stand in that, the bhana and that way of dressing, it's so, so powerful. How can I create my own garments, my own way of dressing that was authentic to me and yet still had that Raj frequency, that royal frequency that we spoke of, that was spoke of and that we really were tuning into. And I loved how complete that yoga was compared to the other ways I was taught yoga, that it really gave you a lifestyle, a way of dressing, a way of eating. And there was something that really reset. I was able to reset through those teachings and through going deep. And yet at the same time, I still had the need to channel sort of my own expression there. So that's, I think, A Wave Awake was 100% born through that, or that was the next phase for like of experience that like more clearly birthed what I'm doing today with the collection.
And so do you feel like, when you're interfacing with the world through this creative practice, through this, your trade, are spiritual principles on the table? I mean, are they being, you know, they're being transmitted through you, the creator, into the creation, but is that something that you're bringing into to dialogue, or that you feel is like permeating other aspects of the business?
For sure. I think in the beginning as a Kundalini yogini, and that was really my framework, my conceptual framework, or the overlay of my, I obviously have lots of other experiences, a student, an artist, and whatever else, wherever else I was coming from. But the overlay then was the Kundalini yoga. And so that really was the framework in which I was beginning to create out of. But then really from there, two really interesting things, which for me is the subject of consciousness, wellness, and the interlay over those in particular, not just fashion, but how it's expressed in the world, out in the world. And then also feminine power. So those were two things that I think I've studied alongside and that complemented my like yogic training. And those are two things that I'm working with more now, even than, say, the principles of Kundalini Yoga, even though those are like intricately woven into my being, into my experience now. It's really what is wellness and consciousness in terms of like our worldliness and what we're consuming, and what is it to exist as a business and a creator through accessing feminine power versus, and also how you're reconciling that, and what does that even mean in a culture that has been, you know, patriarchal? Like, what does this mean, feminine power? So, and, you know, just the awareness of Shakti that I learned, and what that even was palpably through having a name for it through Kundalini Yoga, I think it led me further into this kind of dialogue with creating and with communicating creations to the world. Hmm.
I love that phrase, communicating creations to the world. That's really nice. I'm curious about your experience as a spiritual practitioner, and how that reflects in your experience as a creative person. So you're describing to me like how you put these ideas together and are exploring them through your work. And I'm just wondering, I don't know if this line needs to be drawn or not. It's a kind of a question I have personally, but I'm wondering if you can connect those two, or if you can relate the experiences to one another, like your own personal, you know, practice, spiritual practice, and your creative practice.
I think right now, I think it wasn't completely conscious in the beginning, and I probably understood them as separate, and now I understand them as inextricably bound, because if you're sourcing your feminine power, accessing this energy of the feminine divine feminine, then it is your creative expression creative expression is Shakti, right? So I think right now more than anything, it's the opposite of efforting. I'm sort of just allowing my spiritual practice to be everything. So instead of thinking even that like it's sitting on a mat somewhere, it's like everything, you know? And so then there's no way that it's not being a clothing designer, as sort of silly as that could sound. I think in this new paradigm or the new way of doing it, it's still negotiating. Like, okay, everything, you know? And even when it looks like things just got really gnarly and off and not like, you know, because I don't believe that spirituality is just bliss. Like, that's for sure. It's really like the sticky stuff, and even the dark nights, and the stress even. Like, let's just make it all that and not just the love and the light. Like, maybe that was emphasized a lot in Kundalini Yoga. And maybe that's why I've opened up a little space and allowed a little more to come in, where I'm dancing more with shadow and trying to work out what that is, and that to me, for me at least, is sort of the phase of now. And so then I now think that I guess that's kind of what you call tantra, but far from being a master, just trying to figure out what that is, I've gotten to touch in with it when I've done some dance that is embodying that. And then I felt that I'm doing it when I'm creating, or that's how I'm doing business. Like, it's not, I can't compartmentalize. I don't think if you're accessing feminine power, you're creating a business from the feminine expression. I mean, it's not this pure thing, but let's just say if that's sort of the focus, then that's going to be sort of how things are done. You know, you can't.
And how are those things? I'm intuiting from what you're saying, and you know, it's multifaceted, it's shifting, it's all encompassing. It's not this kind of linear structural business plan, A, B, C, D, E, F, G style thing.
Yeah, it's a little chaotic actually. And I think that like, it's beautiful to know that there's time in which to invite the masculine in it, even into business, because there's a really amazing sacred union and partnership when the two emerge. But I definitely think the birthing of, as far as conscious as I am about it, because of course, you know, I'm trained in the system where masculine things, like I know how to do things, right, and show up for it and these things. But let's just say for the most part, it's been very like divinely guided, all in the flow, very little strategy. And yeah, really, really surprisingly so. And what's funny now is now I know I need to bring in that sacred union in maybe my personal life as well, but in business, so that I can go beyond this exploration of just the feminine, of just the divine feminine, and how to access that to, and I think some people on their path, they're still working through that. And not to say that for whatever reason, that's been easy for me to operate that from that space. And now it's actually like inviting a little bit more structure in so that I could further serve. And yeah, that's why like the business isn't, the clothing collection isn't my name. It's A Wave Awake, because it's not just really about me. It's really just like, how can I serve this vision, this offering that came through me, that inspires me and I want to serve it. And it's using some knowledge I had and some aesthetic predilections, but ultimately it's not really me.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. It does make sense. I was just listening to this, a podcast earlier today. This guy was talking about, I forget his name, but he was talking about the myth of Coca-Cola as a being, like as an entity. And he was talking about how Coca-Cola cannot suffer, Coca-Cola cannot love, but that the lawyers, the attorneys, the corporate attorneys create it as such that it can. They kind of name, put this legal language around it so that it can in that kind of world. Anyway, that's like a whole other thing to think about, but but
that is very interesting.
but just when you said the separation of it is really interesting to consider that we want to animate, we want to personify the unpersonal, we want to give an ego to a non-entity, you know. It's almost like we want to invite it into that, as opposed to this idea of the feminine consciousness, the Shakti being in everything, to just have it be in everything. So tell me a little bit about this part of yourself that was already able to tune into these waves of intuition. Like, how did that develop from when you were a little girl or a teenager or into adulthood?
Well, I think I want to say this is for most of us, but it really gets shut down, right? So it's innate, and maybe we have a family member that has cultivated it, or we see examples of it. And, you know, because I know throughout my life, moments of like, aha, like when someone's friend, older, you know, an older woman, a friend of a parent's, you know, could read palms, or when someone gave me as a little girl, a book on astrology, or just my attraction to, like, I had a young age to essential oils, and and just why did I always like clothing? Why was I always fascinated by it? Why did I go to a store and grab patterns and not really even understand how they worked, but I like wanted one, you know? And then all the other stuff and the junk that happens. I think that I have great parents, but I was in an environment where there was no kindred spirits growing up, really. And so maybe that allowed me to have a lot of time on my own to cultivate through imagination and through space, but also left a lot of like longing to still, I don't know, fit in or acclimate to my surroundings, right? Because that's how you survive in a way as a child. But I think that in Paris specifically, there was just something that did awaken me in Paris, and I couldn't handle it. I actually like gained weight. I had all this water weight, and I was told like, this is because you're so sensitive and your senses are expanding and it doesn't feel good. Like, now is not a time where it's good to be porous and open, and you're in New York City, or it's like, doesn't feel safe. So I think that anxiety was always present when my senses started becoming more refined and heightened. And I learned so many ways of, you know, numbing them. I mean, I don't need a lot, but like, you know, alcohol, food, tons of distractions, obsessions, fixations. But I think that, I think really the empowerment of people telling you, I think that first healer told me, you know, you're a seer, like, you know, you hear things and you see, but it's not like it's a distraction. And it's not like that would ever be a career for me. So it's not that I'm going to lose.
But you have this too. You have this sense, and it almost, when you're telling the story of your childhood, it's almost the isolation of no kindred spirits is kind of a crucible that protects that in a way. So you can kind of flow with your intuition, and then you get out into the world having to interact with others, and that then you have to learn a new way. Like you said, these numbing things that we do. And I don't know that it's the same. I don't know that the childhood to adulthood thing is the same for everyone. You know, ideally we would, you know, bless every child with a safe and warm environment at home where they can expand and grow and be open during that time. And then, you know, mature and learn how to go through that. But I don't think that it necessarily goes that direction for everybody. But the things about numbing and not wanting to be attuned to the sensitivities, either of, you know, clairvoyant type sensitivities or just your own sensitivities to life itself and what it's trying to tell you. Why were you willing to remain sensitive? I mean, you said that moment where you felt the bit of the darkness when you were like taken into the photographs of the fashion. I know that's not what you said, but you said something similar. But you know, but there was this moment. I'm remembering what you said. Feeling wise, it was, you know, you were taken over by this desire, by this feeling of merging into this kind of creative thing, and you felt the bit of darkness. So what do you think it is that gave you the strength or the capacity to continue into that, as opposed to continue numbing?
Well, maybe I had to numb to kind of continue a little bit. At the same time that there is just, I don't know if that's five planets in Scorpio and just like my own capacity to sort of, I mean, I'm not a fearless shadow worker, that's for sure. But I don't know, just this interest in like trying to figure it out. Like, why is it still, it's still intriguing to me, and why is it still intriguing? And I didn't quite yet have all of my faculties there, like emotionally, intellectually, spiritually aligned to know so that I could leave and like, and then continue on, because I stayed there for a while. I did jump in and out. I went to graduate school, I think the year after, like 2002, for the following year after September 11th, for costume history and textiles. So that was a different, so I was like, knew it wasn't right from the beginning, but then I like went back and yeah, it wasn't right for so many reasons, but because but this is right. And I think that's why it didn't feel right, but there was still a rite of passage sort of through this dark canal of, you know, and then I think it was interesting, like relationships reflected that. And it really, something happened at that magical age of 33, really, when I renegotiated agreements and really a wave awake was ready to be born. And so I would say, like, back to that, like, first question, I think it was just like, and I'm still figuring it out, like, what is this? Where am I? You know, I'm in one place for one full year for the first time. I'm like, is this, my guidance was to be here. Like, that was without question. And I'm like, but wait, really? So anyway, I heard that loud and clear. No, I'm supposed to be here, but.
Right.
Yeah. Did I answer that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just like hindsight is 20/20 in a little bit of ways, and that there's a bit of risk taking and willingness to go forward. We are already inclined to that. And it's funny, you know, doing this podcast and talking to different people about their life paths. It's, I bring some sort of personal projection to it that I'm starting to come aware of like, how I anticipated my life was supposed to flow or something like this. But when I'm hearing it, when I hear people tell their stories, it's so obvious. It's so obvious how things are so flowing in alignment. And then you landed in the Kundalini yoga and that happened for you and da 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 da. And you went around here and then this came in and now this is where you are here. And you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know how you felt each day, each month along that pathway, like, you know, how sure it felt or how, what was the balance of dark to light? What was the balance of, you know, doubt to faith or, and, you know, if to come out on the other side and feel like you're supported in this creation and now being able to move forward with it. It's just cool to kind of get the outline of the map and see that. Yeah. Like you said, see the birthing process, but then it can be tricky to then think that then it's done.
Yeah, for sure. Isn't I just, there's like sweeter spots. So it's like, once at 33, I started a wave awake. I was like, that's a sweeter spot. Like, this feels a little bit true. And this feels a little bit like there's fresher air. And this feels more my truth. Whereas I think before there was like glimmers and moments and there was a lot of like discomfort. Mainly, most of the time. That was really, really, like, I really felt it. I was really uncomfortable. But like in myself too. And now I was like, now I'm creating clothing that I feel comfortable in and that I can, and it's something also to offer. Like when I was a stylist, or that's what I was saying I was doing, I couldn't really promote it. It felt like not promoting something true or that was really me, even though I just said a wave awake wasn't me and I didn't give it my name, my clothing, because it's not me. At the same time, it not being me, it's most authentically me. I don't know if that paradox can be, I don't know. I guess like Tantra will allow it all to be there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So, and just sitting with it. And I don't know what's next and why. Sometimes I don't know why I'm here. Like literally in Topanga even. Like, why am I here? But this is where I'm here. And then speaking of that, like the concentric circles or spirals, like I first came here in 2003. A couple years later, started collecting slip dresses here that were dyed with chemicals that were not right, but that a lot of them became the basis for my obsession with slip dresses. And I know now if you're aware, every clothing company has a slip dress. And it's a thing now, but you know, that wasn't quite as prevalent in the market as now it is, like a requisite thing. Hmm. And so then I started doing my own based on some of these models, but making them my own, and then knowing that why create anything new if it wasn't going to be done out of a new paradigm? And for me, that meant there's no way they can be synthetic, and there's no way they're going to be dyed with chemicals, because when I figured that one out, that chemicals, everything goes into our waterways. There's so much waste from fashion production. And if I was going to make something new, why would I add to this mess that we have on the planet right now if it wasn't going to be done this new way? So, like, even Topanga was woven in.
Yeah.
The story, just, it wasn't, like, complete. It was still like, oh, yeah, this is a synthetic dress, and, oh, this place is cool. There's some, like, methy vibes over here, but there's something here. And
right.
yeah, it's super interesting the way that all comes together. And for sure, I'm still, I wouldn't say in the infancy, but still in like the teenage phase of the creation, I think. That's what I feel. It'll be interesting to see like what's next.
Yeah. And so what kind of advice or support would you offer to other people, other women that are engaging, wanting to engage from this place in their lives, to engage from the spiritual, from the divine feminine into the world?
Wow. Yeah. I think number one, like, get into your body. Like, whatever that means, like, with the discomfort, with the beauty, with the pleasure, like, find your body, and then like feed it and clothe it and care for it. And I'm saying this in all humility for someone who's like messed up plenty and like I go such steps forward in like getting this right, and then they'll be like, how did I even think about, you know, treating myself that way again? Like, wait, I know better. And like, but let's just say, you know, without it being perfect is I think the takeaway, but like, because that's where you're gonna access the truth. And the one thing I found about some of our practices is that we're even using the body to like go out there, you know, to like leave our bodies, mm-hmm. you know, practices. And I'm not saying it's even fully a comfortable place for me, but I just know that that's my early understandings of Tantra, and my early understandings of what it is to access your feminine power. It's to get figure this out, like get close with this, and then everything will emerge, all your truth will emerge, and yeah, you'll want to cloak yourself in like the most high vibrational clothing and the food, and it's not fashion or trend in the sense the word fashion is like, to me, okay, like you can look at it, fashion's a complicated word, but it's not, it's like, because authentically you are needing to then like represent yourself and express yourself from that place where you're like recognizing your divinity, and to use a beautiful yogi bhajan, you know, a few phrases, but you know, you are the grace of God in a woman, and you are bountiful, beautiful, and blissful. And how better to try to remind yourself than to attempt to feed yourself. And then on the wellness tip, it's like, you know, our skin absorbs all these chemicals and everything. So why not also want to like put on the most nourishing oils and garments you don't want to mix the silk and oil, you know, but like let the oils absorb and then
right. And yeah. Put a little time, yeah. But a little distance between those.
But in the natural fibers that are naturally dyed, And it's interesting, like Vogue doesn't really know, I don't think, that they're naturally dyed or care, but I want to assume that it's part of why people are attracted to it. It's the vibration, it's undeniable, and then just the expression of plants, you know, and you can, I'm going to hopefully go deeper into herbalist studies and plant shamanism perhaps, but you don't even have to know. Like, you can know if that's your interest, and all you do is just feel it. And I think maybe that's feminine as well. Like, you know, go look it up, go study, go deep, go with that teacher, and then also just feel it, because you know it. You know that energy of that plant. You know that color, you know, and we feel colors, really. Whether we want to or not, we're able to tune into that. So it's like, that's something else. But yeah, so that would be, and then everything else, you know, like, you honor your body and you let the right people in and you let the right things in, and you even know how your body wants to move. And then from there, you know, how you want to create as a mother, lover, or artist, or entrepreneur. I think it all becomes really clear. Like, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that a lot. I'm just struck right now by California coming through the computer. And it's so crazy because I spent this unraveled period of time in I was supposed to be there for 2 weeks. I was there for like a month and a half. And then I came back here, and then I've been in France, and then I'm back here in New York. And it really is when you talk about getting in the body, and then I think immediately of the place too, for me, because I'm so different in my body depending on the place that I'm in. And we talked a bit about this summer when we met briefly in Venice, but from all the traveling, there was this year and a half time period where I was doing so much traveling, and I really got on this vibe of kind of being able to maintain my vitality, my vibration, my energy, no matter where I was. But I wasn't but then something happened when I landed in California for this extended time, and I was really in the earth. I mean, I was in Point Reyes, I was in Hot Springs in Ojai, I was in, you know, Northern California on the coast. And I don't know, I'm just bringing that into play with place and body and the feminine. And what do you have on that?
Well, yes. I mean, they call like different states, different cities, different like land masses, little spots have more or less feminine, masculine energy, like we all do, a combination, I would say. And so we probably recognize what's the predominant energy. Uh-huh. Maybe once in a while a place is neutral. And so, yeah, New York is so masculine. And so for the feminine, you know, and I was born there and spent many, many, many years there. But it is challenging. And I know there's a lot of beautiful, like, crystal rock bed underneath there, and communication, and things are sparkly. And yet it's challenging. But I get shaped who I was. And yet there was, like, cloaking was a thing. Like, I didn't feel comfortable, like, walking down the street without layers. And then that can make you dense. And then you find ways to cope. You know, I don't do women's circles here, but in New York City, that was essential. Like, there was spaces and things that I needed to do to just, like, get through. And there's other places like Hawaii and Bali, especially, where it's just, like, so feminine, so lush, and it's just flowers, and you're in your skin, and it's just, like, you feel the atmosphere, and it feels safe to be feminine. So you can kind of look at that. And
is that where you spent time developing this? Was it Bali? Is that where you were? Indonesia?
A Wave Awake was first really born in New York City. And then I ended up making my way. If I started developing it 2011, but let's just say it was born 2012 in September is when I presented it for the first time. I didn't really get to Bali until 2.5 years later. 2.5 years, 2014 was I in Bali? Oh my God, now I'm confused. Yeah, 2014. And I was in Asia for 2 months traveling, and I had been doing that for 2 years, and I was sort of had a lover over there, and that was part of my the draw for me. But I also knew that that's where the silk is, and that's where the dyes are. And let's all make this one. Let's all see if we can give this a go. And then it didn't work out. I had extra time, and I went to Bali, and I've known Bali has also, like Topanga, come into my field for years and years and years. And it took this sort of, it wasn't the first heartbreak, it wasn't the last. It's just like, okay, I'm on my own, which I had been traveling more or less on my own, but it was like, okay, I'm really on my own, and I need to strategize. I have 2 weeks time, and I'm going to Bali. And I stayed 3 months, and I knew there was a natural dyer to work with over there, and I knew that's where people also were able to make clothes. I mean, throughout Asia, you could find those resources. So So that was part of my interest. So the Bali is a very important place to me, spiritually, community, and creatively for sure. But it was more like the midpoint in creations thus far of A Wave Awake, because I had a dyer actually out in LA, and she's genius, Jane Palmer, and she's working on some other things, but she was using the natural dye stuffs in machines, which is such an interesting way of taking the plants and making this thing scalable and using, you know, mechanics in the more modern sense of the word, whereas in Bali it's like old school style, the local material, the big vats, super super gorgeous, and they can do it too, and it's in a factory setting, but different. And she closed up shop, and it was just the perfect timing that I ended up in Bali, and I didn't really have a choice, but I didn't really know what I was gonna do, and it just, Bali happened, and that's where I was able also now to work with them to dye the pieces, which was just another blessing. Good timing, and you know, and there was like some suffering mixed in there, and then confusion, and why am I here, but I'm going to keep staying here. And it was a place where I also did do deep spiritual work that was outside of Kundalini yoga, and really like
what kind of stuff?
Ecstatic dance, if you want to call that spiritual work, but that's a huge thing in Bali, and I sourced a lot of connection to the body, which I was told I needed to get back in.
I mean, it's just, it just feels like the name of your company is the story, really, because it feels like you set off on this, you had these leanings, these academic studies, these jobs, and then you kind of set off on this one wave that's taken you through these different awakenings. I'm sorry if that's too corny, but literally, you know, it literally has taken you down these different places that have, and so it's answering the question I asked before. It's that, you know, your dharma or your sadhana and your life are not two separate things. You know, your karma is unfolding as your spiritual practice is unfolding, as your work life is developing. Like, it really feels like your story is this feminine unfolding. Now, I mean, again, I don't know what it felt like in the moment. I don't know what the periods of doubt felt like, but it seems to me that somehow you were able to stay on the wave long enough and not get caught in the underbelly.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for that reflection. I didn't sink. Like I maybe was, I don't know, felt at moments trying to find the surface of the wave, but the undertow didn't get me. So,
yeah. And the, you know, the undertow, from my experience, the undertow is rumination, is, you know, all the seven deadly sins, the, you know, the thought, the mind, really, you know, Ram Dass would say, that's your mind.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I will definitely admit to getting thrown off, you know, by romance stuff that hasn't worked out, and luckily somehow I feel by, you know, the grace of guru, divine wisdom, kept me, like, you know, I think when you're operating out of a feminine path and you don't have as much structure and that's not the way you operate, you perhaps can be taken more by the waves. That's the beauty of it, but also the danger of it is, like, how to stay buoyant. Yeah. I don't know. I can't say I know where that comes from, but maybe practice. You know, I'm not a child anymore. My birthday is on Friday, and I'll be 39. So I'm not a little girl anymore. Even though that little girl comes out once in a while. So I think it's just like practice and a lot of grace that's come in at moments and. Yeah.
Well, I know there was a quote from Neem Karoli Baba that came through my feed the other day that he said, do your work like a hero and all else will be taken care of, or something to that effect. And it feels like that the work was the boat, the safety net, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Because I didn't really know what it was. I was like, I know I have a message. I know that there's something that wants to come through me. And maybe a wave awake isn't the end-all, be-all of that expression. But it was a little bit uncomfortable for the years before. Because I knew and I couldn't quite figure out what my offering was. Mm. And then instead of throwing it all out the door when I started going, say, deeper, diving deeper into spiritual practice, I then just infused and recreated from the clay that I was already working with, right? So I just maybe put some sparkle into that, you know, earth colored clay, put a little glitter in it, and I don't know what the good stuff is, the glitter or the clay. It's both, you know. It's like which is the stuff that's really fueling it. It's both. So
yeah.
And then there we go back to the Shiva and the Shakti and then the sacred union. And yet I know as well that, you know, a little more of the masculine will help take this all further. So it's like after we embrace the divine feminine and learn and study in it, then it's time to invite the masculine back in for the sacred union. And that's, I think, when stuff gets really exciting. And I think that's where I am, the next kind of phase of entering in. That whether it be a business partner or I ground into that. I'm not sure yet. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting that you say that about whether it's a partner or if you ground into it to yourself, because I feel like personally that's the place that I've come to, and I'm quite resistant to grounding into it. Because I don't want to reground into an old way that I used to wield that kind of part of my being. And so I think the temptation to find that for me, the temptation has been to find that only in a partner, only in the other. Yeah. And I think that challenge for all of us is that, I mean, yes, we can partner with people that have different strengths than we do, but that the challenge of merging those two within is frightening. It's frightening.
Well, that was my kind of woo-woo guidance, was like, it's time. You know, there was like a voice and a feeling, and then like everything opened up, and then, you know, and then there was complications, and now there's like drama with neighbors and these things. But I think that, you know, that's all the stuff of life that you have to keep on showing up for. And I don't know yet. We'll see. What does it feel like? It feels like getting uncomfortable, actually. It's like, wait, I traveled and I flowed and I floated and I felt like I floated, and people told me I didn't even touch the ground. I was this, like, you know, hovering Kuan Yin, and now I'm like, ooh, I'm denser and I'm slower and I'm awkward and I feel my feet more, and I and I'm, you know, I literally am grounding into nature, and it's beautiful. And it's also like, it can feel weird. And so I think I'm figuring out how to invite it all in. And also, I think it's like choice, right? Because we can choose how we show up. We can't, you know, change the circumstances. And you can also perhaps choose. That would be the more idealized sacred union version of, oh, I'm going to access my masculine abilities right now, and I'm going to, you know, do the spreadsheet, and or I'm going to really just surrender and trust and flow in the feminine in a different way, and source creativity and know the answer through that wisdom.
Yeah, so, this woman, a woman that I spoke to last year, that we have to redo her interview, but she wrote this book, Wild Creative. Her name's Tammy Lynn Kent. She also wrote Wild Feminine. Might have heard of her. Mm-hmm. But her latest book, Wild Creative, really is kind of talking about that, the merging of the two, how the two things come in together, now that we're talking about this. And I mean, I don't know though, you know, everybody that I'm talking to, none of us are quite sure. And what I liked about what you said about it before, about your personal experience before, is that it really took its own time, you know? It took its own time, and it took its own sorting out within you and within your circumstances, and that your willingness to be open to that and ride with that is what brought you to this moment. And so, yeah, there's an ideal of choice, but the choice also can be to explore how this is taking shape, you know?
Yeah, it's like making the choice, not preemptively, because in a way, there's a right time for everything, and trusting and in that guidance that comes from inside and the outside. It's just listening and paying attention, because I don't think, even if I wanted to be a designer and create clothing, it wouldn't have the reception or the energy that it would have had maybe if I created it a year prior.
Right.
Or, you know, I don't know. Right. So I think right now in culture, there's this immediacy because of social media and the millennial generation of like, oh, I need to get out there because everyone else is, and we all have access, and we need to take this idea and that idea. And it's like, no, we're still subject to the rules here of, you know, balance and karma and right, divine timing. And so I think in spite of all that pressure, it's so good to remember that, at least for me, that's not how it works. Maybe other people it does. I've never been able to effort truly anything, I think. I mean, applying some effort, but by effort alone, I've not gotten much done.
Hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to think this good. We got a lot of good stuff in there. It was really nice to see you and connect with you. Let's stay in touch. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was so like really beautiful, like clarifying. And I love the way you host podcasts. It's just such a pleasure. Like I love, and now I'm excited to listen to the new one.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you.
Okay, beautiful one. Have such a good evening.
Thank you so much. You too. I'll talk to you really soon.